لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار جزاك الله خيرا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه أنا صببنا الماء صبا ثم شققنا الأرض شقا فأنبتنا فيها حبا وعنبا وقضبا وزيتونا ونخلا وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الصاخة يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة. This was the recitation from Surah Al-Abasa, and it looks like I forgot the translation of Mursan Khan with me again. You can get one from the bookstore, they have one. Inshallah ta'ala. You want to go get that from the bookstore? Before we begin, there's going to be some points of discussion, and maybe I'll bring some of those points of discussion, inshallah ta'ala, before the brother brings the translation. In these ayah, we're going to cover, inshallah, one of the statements of the Sahaba against speaking about the Quran without any knowledge. And this is the same topic of our upcoming conference, inshallah ta'ala, at the end of February 1999. The evils of speaking without knowledge. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prohibited us from speaking without knowledge in general and about this deen in specific with the statement, Tabarak wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. And don't say what you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing and the sight and the intellect will all be questioned. And this is important for us to understand when we speak about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, or in that like the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you don't speak without any knowledge. That you speak with the knowledge that you know of this deen. And the knowledge is acquired, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith, Ya ayyuha an-nas ta'allamu. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in this authentic hadith, it's in the silsila al-hadith al-sahiha, or the jam al-saghir, sahih al-jam al-saghir by al-Albani, Allahu a'lam, which one that is. Where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, O humanity, I command you to seek the knowledge, and knowledge is only acquired by seeking the knowledge. And being firm or I forgot the word, hopefully that's the word, being firm, being gentle on the one hand and holding fast to the truth, something like that, I think it's firm, is only by gaining that quality. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best by what's meant by the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. At any rate, a person has to seek this knowledge by sitting, jazakallahu khair, by sitting with the people of knowledge to gain this knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and not to speak without any knowledge until that knowledge is acquired. Also, this is a part of speaking without knowledge, that many of the people, when they hear some of the translations of the Qur'an from the deviants, oftentimes they say, that's not what the verse means, and he hasn't studied tafsir himself. A person who is deviant or who is far from the straight path in Islam, he doesn't need to be called wrong on every point for him to be off of the Siratul Mustaqim. It doesn't have to be called wrong on every single point just to be off of the Salat al-Mustaqim. So don't go nitpicking with the people of Bid'ah wa Ahwa when they speak from their own desires or otherwise from about the Book of Allah or the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that you have ilm. Just because the person is away from the path doesn't give you the right to speak without any knowledge. And by speaking without any knowledge, I mean the statement of many of the brothers. That ayah doesn't mean that. If you haven't studied the ayah, don't say the ayah doesn't mean that. If you haven't studied the ayah, don't say the ayah doesn't mean that. The best you could say is, I don't know the ayah to mean that. And whoever says, I don't know something to mean something, is going to be looked at in light of his knowledge. To give an example, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he used to say about some hadith, I don't know that hadith. The ulama, they say, when Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, says, I don't know that hadith, it means it's not a hadith. When he says he doesn't know, it means it's not a hadith. Because he knows all of the hadith, rahimahullah. But when we say we don't know something, that doesn't mean anything. But let's look at our statements like that. And I'm the first one to be included in this. Then we say we don't know something, it's not out of humility or being humble or that we're hinting that it might not be there. That's for the likes of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. It's not for us when we say, I don't know that. I don't know anything and I don't know that. Meaning is a possibility that it might be correct and it might not be correct. And just because someone who is not on the straight path says something that is correct, and we agree that it's correct, it's okay, it doesn't hurt anything. It's not in support of what is wrong, or in support of a deviant path. It's standing upon the truth, no matter who says it. If it's in fact the truth, based on the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I wanted to point that point out, as oftentimes, those who are striving to be upon what is correct, they feel that their statement, we don't know that, and this is more proper to say, we don't know that to be from the sunnah. You don't know much of the sunnah. No. It's a difference when you say, like they say about Imam al-Bukhari, rahimullah, he memorized 1 million chains. Alright, somebody memorized 1 million. We can't even, if Allah knows best, paraphrase in English 40 hadith. And I mentioned that before when I sat with some of the students of knowledge who are being interviewed to study in the University of Al-Madinah. We interviewed about 60 brothers. One of the questions in the interview was, quote me one hadith in Arabic. No one could say that. Illa ma sha Allah. And they said, just say it in English. People couldn't even paraphrase good. You know, like the hadith, you know, when the Prophet ﷺ, you know, and the companions, you know, everybody was kind of like, you know the hadith, right? No. People couldn't even say, like in English, none of them truly believes till he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. At least, I mean, something that someone would translate. And other phrases in Arabic that are very, some hadith are very short and well known, like the statement of the Messenger of Allah, as we're just mentioning it. Al-Hajju Arafah. Al-Hajju Arafah. Statement of the Messenger of Allah, ﷺ. Some people say, recite some of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman. Naam, ayah. I mean, say, we should learn something that you can feel comfortable that you know it perfectly and exactly. At any rate, let's be aware of speaking without any knowledge, and we'll get to that point and see why. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to refrain from speaking without knowledge, and may He forgive us of what took place in the past of speaking without any knowledge. Marsal Khan, Hafidhahullah, they translate, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned and turned away because there came to him the blind man, i.e. Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was preaching to one or some of the Quraysh chiefs. And how can you know that he might become pure from sins, or he might receive admonition and the admonition might profit him? As for him who thinks himself self-sufficient, to him you attend? That's a question. What does it matter to you if he will not become pure from disbelief? You are only a messenger. Your duty is to convey the message of Allah. But as to him who came to you running and is afraid of Allah and his punishment, of him you are neglectful and divert your attention to another. Nay, do not do like this. Indeed, this Quran is an admonition. So whoever wills, let him pay attention to it. It is in records held greatly in honor, Allahul Mahfuz, exalted in dignity, purified, in the hands of scribes, angels, honorable and obedient. Be cursed the disbelieving man, how ungrateful he is. From what thing did he create him? from nutfa, male and female semen drops. He created him and then set him in due proportion. Then he makes the path easy for him. Then he causes him to die and puts him in his grave. Then, when it is his will, he will resurrect him again. Nay, but man has not done what he commanded him. Then let man look at his food. We pour forth water in abundance, and we split the earth in clefts, and we cause therein the grain to grow, and grapes and clover plants, i.e. green fodder for the cattle, and olives and date palms, and gardens dense with many trees, and fruits and herbage, to be a provision and a benefit for you and your cattle. Then when there comes a sa-kha, the second blowing of the trumpet on the day of resurrection, that day shall a man flee from his brother, and from his mother and his father, and from his wife and his children. Every man that day will have enough to make him careless of others. Some faces that day will be bright, true believers in Islamic monotheism, laughing, rejoicing at good news of paradise. And other faces that day will be dust stained, darkness will cover them. Such will be the kafara, disbelievers in Allah, in His oneness, and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fajra, wicked, evil doers. Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he says as we continue the tafsir of the surah, I think we left off with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمَّا يَقْضِي مَا أَمَرَ. Nay, but man has not done what he commanded him. And now I think we'll begin with, then let man look at his food. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, فَقَالَ فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ, then let man look at his food. How his Lord decreed it and controlled it for him and made it the reason for his life. And Mujahid said, let man take a look at his food, meaning how it comes in and how it goes out. I want to add to the statement of Imam al-Baghawi here something I used to hear from the ulama, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the likes of these parables as He does with Isa and his mother Maryam. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, and both of them used to eat food. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that the eating of the food and then the food coming out as you relieve yourselves, that this is a sign that you are a human being and you are lowly and you must worship Al-A'la, the Most High. And if a man takes a look at his food, then he might take a sniff of the smell afterwards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you from amongst the righteous. And Allah knows best. Then he explains, فَقَالْ أَنَّا صَبَبَنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. We pour forth water in abundance. And Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he says, that means rain. ثُمَّ شَقَقَنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. And we split the earth in clefts. Imam al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he says, for the plants. Meaning the earth, Allah split it open so that the plants can grow up out of the earth. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا, and we cause therein the grain to grow. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says that means the seeds that grow food that is nutrition for the human being, or I guess for the animals. Also, Allah knows best.
وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا.
And grapes and clover plants. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says that this is a type of moist thing. Al-Qat, I don't know exactly what that is. I don't know exactly. I thought I knew what Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah he's saying. At any rate, he's saying that the other thing, right, the first thing they called, and grapes and clover plants. Imam al-Baghawi rahimullah he says, as far as those clover plants are concerned, he says, this is the food for the animals. Allah knows best. وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا. And olives and date palms. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, olives are the things that you get olive oil from. And the date palms, this is the plural of a nakhla, which is one date palm tree.
وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا.
And gardens dense with many trees. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says, very dense with many trees. And Muqatil, he says, that the trees are around each other. Like everywhere there's a tree, there's a lot of trees around it. And Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he says that they're very tall trees.
وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا.
And fruits and herbage. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, by fruits, what is meant is the different colors of the fruits. And the herbage, what is meant by that is grass, or that which animals graze on that wasn't planted by the human being. I mean, that which just grows naturally, for lack of better words. That which the animals and the insects and what have you eat. Ikramah, he says, by fruits, what is meant is that which the human being eats. And by the herbage, it means that which the animals eat, or the insects eat. And Qatada, he says, the fruits are for you, and the herbage is for your cattle. And Sa'id ibn Jubair narrates when Ibn Abbas, he says, that which grows out of the earth for the human being and for the cattle. And Ibrahim al-Taymi, he says that Abu Bakr, he was questioned about the statement and fruits and herbage, or وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا, and he said, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تَظُلُّنِي وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تَقُلَّنِي إِذَا قُلْتُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. Or as he says, radiallahu anhu, he says, what sky would hide me or cover me, and what earth can I hide in if I say about Allah's book that which I have no knowledge? This narration on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it's called Munqati', or from amongst the chains that are not considered authentically reported. However, this statement has been used by many of the ulama. Whether Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said it or not, the principle is firm and established and based on other ayat in the Quran. As we have mentioned, that Allah has prohibited us from speaking without any knowledge, and that this principle has been established in places like we had mentioned earlier, and this is amongst the place that if you had Abu Bakr and as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying that when he's asked about the Quran, how easy should it be for us when we're asked about the Quran to say, I don't know. And Ibn Shihab narrates on Anas that he heard Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu read this ayah,
And then he said, all of us, we know what this is except for the ab that's mentioned in this ayah, or the herbage. And then he raised his cane that was in his hand, or his stick that was in his hand, and he said, this I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah that this is the burdening of yourself, of oneself, or something like that. It is not for you, the son of the mother of Umar, he's referring to himself, that you don't know, it's nothing wrong that you don't know what is meant by this word Ab. And then he said, follow what has been made clear to you from this book, and what has not been made clear to you, then leave it alone. And this has been collected by other than Imam al-Baghwi rahimahullah, and al-Hakim, he says that this narration is authentic. And then they had a footnote that it might be nice for us to mention, where the scholars who checked this book for Imam al-Baghwi rahimahullah, they say that Ibn Kathir, after he mentions the narration of Imam al-Tabari in his tafsir, he says, and this chain is sahih, this isnad is sahih, and many people have narrated this on the authority of Anas, and it can be understood that what is meant by it is that he meant to know the type of herbage that was for the animals, and the actual, I don't know anything about agriculture, but the herbage is that which the animals eat. So what Omar is trying to say is, he doesn't know exactly, is it hay, grass, what exactly is it, but is that which grows there that the animals eat. But which one exactly was Allah referring to, he doesn't know. Ibn Kathir is saying, otherwise, because Omar and everyone who and reads this ayah knows that it's a plant that grow from the earth. As Allah says, فَأَنْبَتْنَا, and we have grown from the earth, and then Allah went on to mention the things. So Omar knew, just like everyone else knew, that it's something that grows from the earth. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves something in general. And then somebody asks, well, what was Allah referring to exactly? And he says that he doesn't know, rahimahullah, radiyallahu an Omar. And this is for us, as Omar is explaining, as we were trying to mention earlier, that what's clear, alhamdulillah, you follow that, and what's not clear, just leave it alone. Meaning, leave it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it. If Allah left something to be general, okay. If He wanted to specify it for you, He could have specified it for you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to leave it open for you to be general. Don't be going too deep into all of these questions, or you might go astray like those people who have come before you, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has warned in hadith. And this sometimes comes up with the brothers, hopefully I'm not drifting too far, as some of the brothers, they ask, what does that mean? Oh, that's the stuff that the animals eat. What stuff does the animal eat? You know, the stuff that animals eat. That's what Allah is referring to. He said, no, hay, this, that, and they want to specify. You say, nah, don't worry about it. Well, I just want to know the tafsir of it. Everything in the tafsir doesn't mean that the people have the specifics of everything that come in the Quran. But there's general morals that come from it. And if we back up, as we were trying to add on, these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with, say alhamdulillah, because you take advantage of these things. I mean, many of us, we like meat. Can you imagine having meat if the cows had nothing to eat? and there's no meat if they don't have anything to eat. And as you benefit from these things, say Alhamdulillah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provided all these things for you. And likewise, remember, like you eat these things have to come out. And this is what makes you a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear to you who you are and what's your status. And He commands you to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we should benefit from the likes of the ayat, that Allah is giving His signs to call you to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you these signs to make it clear to you that He alone is the only one that has the right to be worshipped subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we're covering these ayat of tafsir, don't let it have you reflecting in the sense of drifting off into some intellectual type of discussion about the ayat, but let these ayat reflect and remind you of your responsibilities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mata'allakum wa li'an'amikum, to be a provision and a benefit for you and your cattle. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, a benefit for you, meaning the fruits are a benefit for you, and for the cattle, meaning the grass and hay, stuff like that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ, and then when there comes the sa'kha, or the second blowing of the trumpet on the day of resurrection. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, then the resurrection is mentioned, as Allah says, then when there comes the resurrection, or the sa'kha, which means the scream or the loud sound of al-qiyamah. And it's called that because it will be screaming to the ears. Or that it will be so loud as if it would silence your ears, or something like that. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. That day shall a man flee from his brother and his mother and his father and from his wife and his children. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says, he will not turn to anyone from amongst those who are mentioned because he will be so busy with his own soul. And it's been mentioned on Qatada that he said pertaining to this ayat, the day shall a man flee from his brother and from his mother and his father and from his wife and his children. He said that this is when Habil will run from Qabil. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would run from his mother, and Ibrahim alayhi salam would run from his father, and Lut will run from his wife, and Nuh will run from his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us on that day. Now, and this example that Qatada is mentioning is the example when a man will run from his brother. Habil and Qabil, their brothers and children of Adam. One brother run from the other brother. And the case of the Prophet ﷺ running from his mother, where a person will run from his mother. And Ibrahim from his father, and his father. And Lut, when a man will run from his wife. And Lut from his wife. And Nuh from his children. And here in this example, if we're reflecting, all of them will be running from them, and they were kufar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disbelievers or disobedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Every man that day will have enough to make him careless of others. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah says, he will be busy. He will be so busy that he won't have any concern about the affair of others. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, يَبَعَثُ النَّاسُ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا قَدْ أَلْجَمَهُمُ الْعِرَقُ وَبَلَغَ شُحُومُ الْآذَانِ فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We'll finish after the adhan, inshaAllah. Allahu Akbar.
بسم الله.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يبعث الناس حفاة عراة غرلا قد ألجمهم العرق وبلغ شحوم الآذان فقلت يا رسول الله وسوءتا ينظر بعضنا إلى بعض فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم قد شغل الناس لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. And this is authentically reported on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, humanity will be raised up barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. And his sweat will come all the way up to his earlobes. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, what about our awrah? Will we be looking at one another naked? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, humanity will be very busy. Everyone from amongst them on that day will be busy or concerned about his own soul. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, I don't know, my reflection on it, it has made me answer many of the questions of the brothers and the sisters that are this type of question. What about a brother who does such and such? Or what about a sister that does such and such? And I answer, what about you? And the day where you won't be concerned about a brother or a sister, or a mother or a father, or a wife or a child, what about that day? Are you ready for that day? And some of the brothers and the sisters have gotten upset with me to say, well, I still have a question. I'm worried about me on that day, but I'm still asking about a brother who does this or that. Sometimes we get lost in the worldly affairs of worrying about what doesn't concern us. And Allah is trying to remind us here in this ayat and the likes of the ayat, which says the same thing that this ayat is saying, that don't worry about being worried about everybody. You're not going to be worried on that day. And even Aisha in her youth, radiallahu anha, everybody going to be naked, you know, men and women, you know, everybody just going to be, you know, checking everybody out. They're going to be much more serious than worrying about anybody. All of those people who like to look at the haram in this world, they're not going to be concerned about looking at nothing in the next world. People will be concerned about the issue because it's going to be real. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's setting the tone as He says, the horn is going to be blown. The loud scream. When this horn is blown, as we were just mentioning in the other surahs, it's not like something that's close to us that bothers us. If the speaker does the feedback, and then it goes loud, you know, you just want to jump out your salat to stop it. What about the scream that is so loud that it will scare you to death, literally? And everything on earth will die. What about that scream? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it. And what about the next scream, or the blowing of the horn, that will bring everything back to life, barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised? Wallahi, is serious. And sometimes we need to start taking stuff serious and stop being petty. What about a brother who did this? What about a brother who did that? Well, that brother didn't do this. Well, he not doing that. This or that. Really, after all of the brothers and sisters are taken care of, you're going to have to take care of yourself. And this is what Islam calls us to this ikhlas, or to this sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a lot of times we don't benefit from Islam and ikhlas. We think things are at face value only, and that things are only what everybody sees. This thing is real serious, and that people should be concerned about their souls on a day when they won't be concerned about anyone but their souls. And if this is an encouragement for us to worry about our ibadah, what's going to make us worry about our ibadah? As I was trying to mention right after the salat before our class, that people are coming with excuses on why they don't make hajj. I don't mind, make a million excuses. Just be ready to have an excuse for your Lord on the day when you're going to run from everybody and be concerned about yourself? How will you be concerned about yourself when the reminder came to you to make Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you made no real attempt and you didn't take advantage of the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with? And Allah has blessed many of us here in America, walhamdulillah, with many opportunities. And many of us have seen a lot of money. We played around and blew, messed up a lot of money. As this is the land, waliyadhu billah, the land of entertainment and enjoyment, and recreation, and fun, and relaxation. We blow money, and we're raising our children on blowing money. The children, all they want to do is relax, have fun. Well, you know, they've been in school all day. If they've been in school all day, let them study all night. If they've been in school all day, let them learn a trade after school and study and go to sleep. This is what real men and children have to grow up to be men. And women grow up to handle responsibilities to prepare themselves for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's be aware of all of the excuses too that we make. And that we blame and point the finger on other people. As we were talking in the other surah, that we are called the personality or the person. We can blame stuff on everybody. The devil made me do it. The devil gonna free himself from you. On Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we're mentioning, yeah, he told you disbelieve. When you disbelieve, he says, I'm free from you. I fear Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Let's stop pointing the finger at everybody and let's stop giving people excuses. It's not between me and you. It's between you and Allah. One-on-one, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِنْ أُتُرْجَمَانَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ الْبُخَارِي الْمُسْلِمِ. There is not one from amongst you except that on Yawm al-Qiyamah his Lord will speak to him and there won't be any interpreter and translation between him and him. Meaning between him and his Lord. This meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. Everybody's going to have, for lack of better words, a fair one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the most just. And no one is going to be wronged on that day by Allah, but it was the people who wronged their own souls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the Muslims who don't make Islam being concerned about everyone else. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the Muslims who are preparing for this day of meeting with Allah. Ameen.
Wujuhun yawma idhin musfira. Some faces that day will be bright. Imam al-Baghwi rahimahullah, he says, bright and shining. Dahikatun mustabashira. Laughing, rejoicing at good news. Imam al-Baghwi rahimahullah, he says, laughing with happiness. Rejoicing, happy because of what he has earned from the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرًا. And other faces that day will be dust stained. Imam al-Baghwi rahimahullah, he says, black with sadness and grief. تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرًا. Darkness will cover them. Imam al-Baghwi rahimahullah, he says, they will be encompassed and covered by darkness and like an eclipse. And Ibn Abbas rahimahullah, he says, they will be covered with humiliation. And Ibn Zayd, he says, the difference between al-ghabara and al-qatara, or the difference between the faces that will be dust stained and the faces that darkness will cover them, the difference is The one that darkness will cover them. This is the second one, Al-Qatara. This is the dirt that is off of the ground, that's up in the air, or something like that. And the Ghabara, this is from the dirt that is from beneath the ground. Allah knows best. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. Such will be the disbelievers and the wicked evildoers. Imam al-Baghwi rahimullah, he said, such will be those that will have this done to them, mean to their faces on that day. They are the kafaratul fajra, they are the kufar and the wicked evildoers. And this is the end of the tafsir of Suratul Abasa from Imam al-Baghawi. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It was just two points that we wanted to point out from these last ayat. And the first point from amongst these points is the point of don't speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book or his deen or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without knowledge. And this has become widespread in America because all of us are literate. All of us read and write. Many of us have went to school, doctor's degrees, have big jobs and what have you. And we feel that this allows us to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen without any knowledge of the kitab and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be aware of this. People who came before you who were better than you and more knowledgeable than you of this deen, they used to be happy to say, La adri Allahu a'lam. I don't know, Allah knows best. And we had a whole lecture one time with the quotes from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and many of the statements of our Salaf al-Salih, encouraging the people to say, I don't know, Allah knows best. Also, the point we wanted to remind is that sometimes the people need to take a look in the mirror at themselves and try to get themselves together in preparation for the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As oftentimes we get tied down or locked in with the affairs of this world and each other. He did that, he ain't on it, she on it, that one ain't right, this is right, what about somebody who do that, I told you he was this, she ain't that, he ain't all. Eventually it's going to come a time where you're not going to be concerned about all that. You're going to be concerned about yourselves. So when you're going to be concerned about yourselves, then take some time now to concern yourselves with yourselves by making sure that your aqidah is proper and correct, by making sure that your ibadah is proper and correct, by trying to perfect your character in accordance to the kitab and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make sure that your business transactions and your social interaction with one another is correct in accordance with the kitab and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get yourselves together by learning the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following the way of our Salaf al-Salih, because you're going to be tested one day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. But everyone knows that every soul will taste death, and that everyone will be held accountable after his death. Why aren't we preparing today? And why are we worrying so much about other people instead of our own souls? As we were mentioning with the example of Hajj. I'm wrong if you want me to be wrong. But what about you? Nah, I'm wrong. I don't have the best approach. I don't have the best character. I don't know everything. I'm guilty. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha ghayruhu wa atubu ilayhi. But what about your soul now? And this is sometimes what we have to take a look at when we take a look at the likes of these ayat that will be mentioned, that people will be running from their brother and their mother and their father and their wives and their children. It's going to be about you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us and prohibited us from other things. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has commanded us and prohibited us other things and told us we'll be held accountable on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Why don't we take a look at our deen, at our aqeedah, at our ibadah, at our character, and prepare. instead of stop saying, oh, them people always talking about halal and haram, or everything is bid'ah or the sunnah. Alright, people are going to be wrong. People are going to be wrong. And all of us have wronged our souls, astaghfirullah. But what about you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? You can point your finger at everybody and everybody will probably have to say, I'm wrong. But what about your soul? And oftentimes I've seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that we feel comfortable at pointing the finger at someone else like it makes us okay. Bust it. Stop disobeying Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Ah, you do the same thing too. Okay. I do it. But that's not going to be an excuse that will justify your disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is the point that I hope that we're benefiting from these ayat. And this is the point that I hope that's sinking in. Stop trying to put the blame because someone else isn't doing right. You're going to be held responsible for yourselves. And all of us, we know where we're falling short. Let's try to get ourselves together. And I know that we are upon this bad disposition because this is how the children are. And we see it, we're working with the children. Busted. Told you weren't supposed to be down that hallway. Who are you talking to? Why are you always trying to get on me, man? I don't like the way you're talking to me, man. What's up with you, man? Oh, you got a problem with me? I don't have a problem with you. Everything is okay. I'm just asking you. Do you belong down that hallway? Oh, see, I'm tired of everybody always. He won't even get with the issue. You wrong. Because he can't even look at being held accountable for what he does. Because everybody's wrong. And I think I mentioned this before when I was teaching in the school and I was telling one of the parents, your child talks in school. He said, I know. He told me everybody talks in school. Why are you telling me? Wallahi, if we die on this attitude, we're not going to have it when we meet Allah. Because when we see how serious this thing is, then we're going to be worrying about us. Why wait for it when it won't benefit you? Like we mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, when the hellfire is brought forth, on that day the people will remember, but how will their remembrance benefit them? When the hellfire right in front of you, you're going to remember, I should have got myself together. But how is it going to benefit you then? We got to let these reminders benefit us now. وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمُّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. I don't know if there were any questions or other need a clarification on these last ayat of Surah Al-Abasa.